A Cowboy Promise. The wild horse roundup was over. Then the man who had bought the herd of cattle came to the Bar XL. He had 10 of his own cowboys with him. They were riding good horses. They also had some extra horses with them. But even with the extra horses, they did not have enough to make the trail drive to Abilene. On long trips, each cowboy used from 6 to 8 horses every day. These horses he called his string. He took good care of them and seldom let anyone else ride them. "I'd like to buy some of your Mustangs," the man said to the boss of the Bar XL. "That is, I'll buy them if they're broke to ride." "Well," the boss laughed, "they're still pretty green, but my cowboys can ride them." "And so can mine," the man smiled. "All right, boys," he called. "Go to the corral. Rope the horses you want for your strings." John followed the cowboys to the big corral. The men began to draw numbers from a hat. They would rope in turn. "Say, fellers," the cowboy shouted, "look at that rust-colored Mustang. Man alive, ain't he a beauty?" "That's Red," spoke up the boss of the Bar XL. "Rusty caught him in the wild horse roundup." Red was certainly the prize horse in the corral. Already, under Rusty's careful training, he had become a good cowpony. From all the talk, it was clear that every cowboy wanted Red in his string. John, of course, hoped that Rusty would draw number one from the hat. If he didn't, he would lose the horse he had trained and loved. There was a worried look on Rusty's face as he took his number. John hurried to him. "Did you get number one?" he asked. Rusty shook his head. 4, he answered. He looked over at his horse in the corral. "Then someone else will rope your horse. What will you do, Rusty?" "There ain't very much I can do," Rusty replied, without taking his eyes off Red. "I'll just have to trust to luck." While they were talking, a tall, mean-looking cowboy joined them. "Your luck ran out, Rusty," he said. "I drew number one. I'm roping that horse in my string." "You can't do it," John exclaimed. "Red belongs to Rusty." "Not any longer," the cowboy snapped back. Pack Saddle came striding forward. "Just a minute. I don't know how your outfit does things, but on the Bar XL, we believe in fair play. If a man's broken and trained a horse, the rest of us keep hands off that horse." "I have number one," the cowboy sneered, "and I've taken a liking to Red. I'll rope him, and you can't stop me." "No, we can't stop you," Rusty agreed, "but I warn you, be good to Red, or you'll settle with me." "Men," the loud voice of the Bar XL boss made them turn, "what's this quarrel all about?" Rusty reached into a vest pocket for his purse. "I'd like to buy Red," he said. "Oh, so that's it," the boss smiled. "I can't say I blame you. All right, Rusty, I'll sell him to you for $50. "I'll give you $75, said the strange cowboy. "Nope," the boss shook his head. "My offer to Rusty stands." Rusty counted out the money and handed it to his boss. John noticed the purse Rusty put back into his pocket looked pretty thin and limp, but the wide grin on Rusty's face made everything all right again. "Now get along," the boss ordered. "Rope your horses." While the men picked out their Mustangs, John sat on the top rail of a corral gate. It was fun to watch the cowboys and listen to their jokes and talk. From his high seat, John had a good view. Far away, he sighted a covered wagon coming toward the ranch. The driver of the wagon had his team of horses at a full gallop. "That must be the cook for this outfit," John said to himself. On long drives, the cowboys did not cook their own meals. They had all they could do to take care of the cattle. Their boss hired a man to do the cooking, and all during the trip, the cook was the most important man in the outfit. His wagon, the chuck wagon as it was called, was the center of cowboy life on the long trail. The chuck wagon was a kitchen on wheels. It was packed with food supplies, pots, pans, and tin dishes. Sometimes it even carried the blankets and extra clothing of the cowboys. John waited until the chuck wagon rattled to a stop near the corral. Then he jumped down from the gate and headed across the stretch of ground to talk to the cook. "Say, kid," a cowboy called to him, "tell that old woman to get busy."
"I'll tell him exactly what you said," John replied.
"Oh, don't do that," exclaimed the cowboy. "Never call the cook an old woman to his face. He's the best shot in the outfit, and he don't go in for jokes." John began to grin. "I know." "Well, you rascal," the cowboy laughed. "You almost scared the chaps off of me."
John laughed, too, and strode on whistling. When he reached the chuck wagon, the cook was already at work.
"Howdy, young'un," the cook said. "You going up the trail with us?"
"No," John answered with a sigh. "I wish I was making the trip." The cowboy cook moved about, talking and working. In a short time, he had the noonday meal ready. He placed a stack of tin plates and some tin knives, forks, and cups on his work table. "Here," he said, handing John a plate. "Help yourself to the chow." Then, in a loud voice, he called to the men of the outfit, "Come and get it!" The hungry cowboys did not have to be called twice. They rushed to the chuck wagon. They piled their plates high with thick slices of fried bacon, boiled potatoes, and big white onions. The pan of cornbread, which John thought would feed an army, was gone in a twinkling. The men ate in a hurry. They drank cups of coffee, hot and black and strong as lye. Then they returned to the corral. The cook was surrounded by dirty dishes, pots, and pans. John wanted to help wash the dishes, but the cook said, "Nope, I can do my own work. I don't like to have anyone fussing around my chuck wagon." He grinned and said, "That's the way an old woman acts, isn't it?" "Maybe," John laughed, "but I've never seen a woman wearing a pair of six-shooters while she does her work." "You're all right, kid. Now get going. I have work to do." John joined the men riding out to the cattle corral. They had to brand the cattle with a new owner's mark before they started up the trail. Rusty explained to John that this was the road brand. "We won't burn the brand into the animal's hide this time. It'll only be burned into the hair." "Why?" questioned John. "Well, this is not a ranch brand. It's a road brand. It's only needed for the trail drive." It took 2 days of hard, steady work to mark the cattle with the road brand, but at last the herd was ready. It was time for John to tell Rusty and Packsaddle goodbye. "I'll be waiting to hear all about the drive," he said to him. The cowboys looked at each other. Then Rusty cleared his throat. "We may not come back to the Bar XL," he said. "If we like it up north, we're going to get jobs on a ranch in Wyoming." "Oh," was all John could say. "So long," Packsaddle held out his hand. "Don't forget, I'm expecting you to be a real cowboy." "I won't forget," John replied, shaking hands with his friend. As Packsaddle hurried away, John said, "I don't want to stay here. Can I go with you?" "I'm surprised, John. I thought you could take whatever came your way. That's what a real cowboy does. He takes it smiling, good luck and bad." "I guess I had that coming," said John. He forced himself to smile, then looked up at Rusty. "We'll meet again someday, won't we?" Rusty placed an arm around John's shoulder. "Yep, someday we'll meet again, and when we do, we'll ride the range together. You can count on that, cowboy."